Hey guys, welcome back to Fiction Fixation.
We're your hosts. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Rose.
And this week we're going to be recapping the 2024 rom-com Players, starring Gina Rodriguez, Tom Ellens, and Damon Wayans Jr. And let me tell you, I am straight slutty putty for Tom Ellis.
Tom Ellis. So where do you know him from?
Lucifer.
Lucifer. Okay, that's a show, right?
Yes.
You just look like you wanted to hit me for not knowing that. I'm very sorry.
Well, I forget you're Catholic.
I'm sorry. I don't watch demonic shows.
He's so hot, though.
He's really hot. So this movie is about a group of friends who are essentially con artists. They're like dating con artists.
So like they're not trying to steal money from you. They're stealing hookups from you,
right,
by lying to you. They're putting on a show.
Yeah.
So we have Mackenzie, or Mac, played by Gina Rodriguez.
Mac is the henchman of the group. She is the prodigy almost. She's the one that has all of these little dating cons in her head.
And then we have Adam, who is played by Damon Wayans.
Adam is like the sweet guy in the group. He almost doesn't fit in.
And then we have Augustus Prue, who plays Bran again.
Bran is the gay bestie. He goes both ways. He's bi.
And then we have Joel Courtney, and he plays Little, who is Bran's younger brother. And they just call him Little.
Yeah. What I find interesting is how these three guys idolize Mac. They really look up to her, and they find her to be like a genius when it comes to getting laid.
Because honestly, she is.
So these four friends, they live in New York City, which is really a great backdrop for their evening activities.
Yeah, because really, how often are you going to run into the same person,
right,
more than once?
In a big city. They call them plays. So whenever they're out in a bar and they spot someone one of the group members wants to sleep with, they turn to Mac and they ask her, what play should we run? And she will come up with an elaborate scenario, and they have names for it. Like, let's play Fiji.
Yeah, they run this elaborate scenario of tricking this unsuspecting woman at a bar into thinking that this guy is headed off to Fiji tomorrow and his girlfriend just dumped him.
What I don't understand is that this group of friends, they're all attractive. I don't know that they have to do these elaborate cons to get a one-night stand. I feel like at this point, they're doing it for the adrenaline rush.
Of course. They're doing it for the chase.
They're not super young.
The youngest one of them, Little, he's early to mid-20s. The rest of them, early to mid-30s.
Yeah.
Listen, I was married by my mid-20s, so can't relate.
Can't relate to going to bars every night and coming up with these elaborate scenarios. It does look a little fun to play out roles to trick people into thinking you're this rich millionaire in town for a night. But then at the same time, they're playing with people.
They are kind of messing with people. And I'm torn because I think that you should always be honest with somebody. If it's a, you know, hit it and quit it thing, that's cool. But everyone needs to be on the same page on if it's a hit or a quit it thing. And I don't feel like there's that transparency here.
Yeah, you know what? We really ragged on Christian Grey and his contract, but was it really wrong for him to write out his expectations ahead of time and be like, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what you're expected to do? Wouldn't all relationships be a lot simpler if we all went in with written expectations that you signed on a dotted line for?
That's called a prenup, honey.
Is it though? I don't know.
Here are the expectations of our marriage, and should they be broken, here are the consequences. After Mac helps one of them try and get laid, she decides to head out, and Adam, who just sat there and watched her in complete and utter awe, he walks her to the train, which she mentions that he always does. He always walks her to the train after they go out.
Which is really sweet because it is a big city and she is out late at night. But then also I find it interesting that Mac and Adam are still friends because they have a history.
Yeah, she ran a play on him.
She ran a play on him in college, and I guess they hooked up, but now they're friends.
Or they got close to hooking up. Later in the movie, she says it was all above the shirt, over the bra. So they got close to hooking up, but they didn't actually hook up. But yeah, she ran a play on him.
Aside from being apparently lifelong best friends since college, they also work together.
Yes, they all work for a newspaper.
Adam is a graphic artist, and essentially he makes graphs and charts and, like, you know, those like visuals that a accompany articles sometimes that kind of take all the data and make it into a visual. That's what Adam does.
Yes, Mac does local sports. And even though they live in NYC, we're not talking about, you know, Yankees games or Red Sox games, not even the Mets. Okay, she doesn't even get to cover that. We're talking about boxing, chess, turtle racing.
Really obscure, weird games, which I feel like there is a subset of the population that would be more interested in those weird niche sports than the actual big league sports. I didn't know turtle racing was a legitimate thing. Or boxing, chess. Excuse me, you're telling me you get to see two men duke it out in the boxing ring and then they sit down with ice packs to their heads and play chess? Yes, sign me up. I love
Honestly, I would pay to watch that.
Yeah, I would pay to watch it.
And then Bran, good old Bran, he does obituaries.
Which is kind of hilarious because Bran is the least serious out of all of them and he has like the darkest, most serious job. When I tell you that the character Bran made me laugh out loud multiple times.
Bran is delightfully unsophisticated. You know, he is 100% just dark humor and irreverence, and I love it.
Excuse me, we need to file a trademark. No one else is allowed to be delightfully unsophisticated except for us.
We do need to file that trademark before somebody tries to take it from us.
How dare you? We invented unsophisticated.
A delightful little sociopath.
So it's a usual day at the office. Mac, Adam, and Bran are just hanging around shooting the shit. And then this tall, dark-haired man comes up to them. And he has a British accent, which I just think it's important to know.
It's important.
Yeah. Not to the plot or the character development or any events of the story, but it's important to us.
It's just important for you to know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just important for you to know. Tom Ellis, who plays this tall, dark latte. He's not dark. He's very white, but he does have dark hair.
So Mac recognizes this man immediately and she tells the others, holy crap, this is Nick Russell. He is this very prestigious reporter. He speaks like seven languages. He was a Pulitzer finalist. I hope I'm saying that right. I obviously am not a Pulitzer finalist and will never be.
So Mac is just in awe. Bran is in awe of how hot he is. And Adam's annoyed.
Well, because Adam is the straight male. So Adam's like, okay, it's literally just your average white guy. Like, there really isn't anything special about him. It's just the fact that he's so prestigious. And I think Mac is just fangirling over him.
It's also the British accent.
And also the British accent. That for sure helps.
Also, the fact that he's 6'3 doesn't hurt.
I wrote in my notes that he's like Anderson Cooper, if Anderson Cooper was straight, but I think Anderson Cooper is way hotter than this guy, TBH. But I have to say, his British accent, I don't love it. It's the pretentious one. You know how there are like different British accents? He's got the pretentious one. He's got the one that makes you feel stupid. You know, he's got the one that makes you feel like he has no time for you in his schedule. That sort of accent.
Which one is that?
I don't know. I guess you can Google what kind of accent this actor has. But yeah, his accent, it's the pretentious British accent. I don't love it. It makes me feel stupid. It makes me want to punch him in the face.
Okay. Okay. I love all British accents with, there's a couple where I'm like, probably wouldn't fuck it, but that's a lie. I still would. Like, don't love it, but I'd still hit it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I should just probably not go to Europe.
You should not. You would wreck your marriage. You would come back pregnant with like Irish triplets and be like, how did this happen?
This is all in theory, okay? I would not actually. The reason Mac is actually in the office, because she normally works from home, is because there's a retirement party for one of their coworkers at a local bar. She finds out from her boss's assistant that Nick Russell is going to be there.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Mac has now cleared the rest of her day.
Right.
All right. She planned on going, hanging out, saying hello, and then heading home.
Yeah.
Now Mac has cleared her calendar. She is staying there. Mm-hmm. Her mind is running. She's thinking some things. And she just can't stop thinking about, I keep wanting to say Nick Miller. She can't stop thinking about Nick Russell.
So that night at the bar, Mac, Bran, Adam, they're all hanging out with all their coworkers at the bar. And Nick Russell is there. And she's obviously very enamored by him. She ends up telling her friends, she's like, I want him.
Adam's like, you know what? Run a play on him.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't run a play on a man like Nick Russell.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's just a man.
Mac is like, this is the type of man you get into debt with. This is the type of man you freeze your mm-hmm. eggs for. Like, she's really putting him on a pedestal here. And mm-hmm. honestly, I think it's a little immature of her, because really, it's almost as if she's never come across a man with a career before. It seems like because uh-huh. they're out in bars all the time, they're hitting on these young kind of losers. And this is the first serious man that she's come across. And suddenly she's like, I'm in love.
Does she even know, though? I don't think she actually takes the time to find out what the players at her game do for a living. She had background story on this guy.
That is such a good point. She has never known the background story of the guys that she's wanted, because every mm-hmm. time she runs a play on a guy, he's a stranger. And so he's a figment of her imagination. She's a figment of their imagination. And I have to say, there is something about these plays and these cons that she runs that is really just avoiding vulnerability, because she never has to be herself, which means she can never be rejected. Even if someone doesn't want her, it's just that the play didn't work. It's not that there's something wrong with her. You know what I mean? So it's like this wall that she has built up against rejection.
I'm not going to lie. That actually sounds a little awesome. Unhealthy, but a little awesome.
You mean I can shield myself from ever getting hurt by a man? What?
She cracked the code. She cracked the code.
Yeah, I mean, she's out here playing three-dimensional chess.
Anyways, Adam and Bran finally convince her, run the play on Nick. So the play she decides on is called Drip Drop. Essentially, it's just constantly putting herself in his line of sight and then backing off, going back into his line of sight, backing off. It's just essentially constantly being in his field of vision, mm-hmm. but never being interacting with him. She's just always around him, near him, but never with him.
All night, Mac makes sure to be around Nick Russell anytime she takes her coat off and shows off her shoulders and her really toned stomach. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Gina Rodriguez got in shape for this movie. She looks incredible.
Do you see her bicep?
She looks amazing. So the whole night, she's in his field of vision. She's dancing around him, dancing mm-hmm. in front of him, but not interacting with him. And that is mind games. You are kind of making him wonder, why is this super hot, fun girl not giving me the time of day?
And he does wonder, because by the end of the night, he ends up in her booth with her and her friends.
Mm-hmm. And then, as really good wingmen, Adam and Bran are like, oh man, it's late. We gotta get going. You know how it is. And they just head on out and they leave Mac and Nick at the booth flirting and talking.
And Nick says, can I get you another drink? And she says, do you have any at home?
You get any drinky drinks at homey home?
I love the confidence there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? It's not a direct ask, but it's definitely very clear, mm-hmm. to the point, and flirty.
It's the type of question to where if it goes the wrong way, she could pull it back. I love the gaslighting nature of those kind of questions.
And so obviously they go back to his place, and it is that sort of stereotypical coming in the door, flinging clothes everywhere, limbs flying as you're undressing.
Courtney, limbs flying. We are in audio format. When you say limbs flying, people are imagining a limb flying. Okay. I want you to reel it back in, and I want you to like choose different words.
They come through the door with that stereotypical sort of hookup scene where they're undressing, clothes are being thrown away from them, arms are just flailing to get the clothes off as quickly as possible. Mac knocks over like a vase or a lamp or something. And she's like, oh my God, I hope that wasn't from expensive. Was it from Syria? And he's like, no, it wasn't. Then he's like, actually, it was expensive and it was from Syria.
Yeah. So his place is too nice. First of all, it's very sophisticated. It's like overlooking New York City. You could tell this is a very expensive apartment. It's full of artifacts. It's full of really nice, expensive furniture. And it's so nice that they can't even have wild sex in his living room. He has to take her to the basement to fool around.
He takes her to the bedroom, not the basement.
Did he say basement or bedroom?
Bedroom.
Oh, I thought he said basement. And I was like, all right, that's a choice.
No, he took her to the bedroom.
That makes a lot more sense, actually.
Yeah. So he carries her to the bedroom and he tosses her on the bed and she goes, oh my God, these sheets, what are they? And he said, Egyptian cotton. And she's like, of course they are.
Yeah. He rocks her world. And again, Mac is a girl that spends her nights at dive bars. Mm-hmm. I think right now there are stars in her eyes, you know, hooking up with this really prestigious guy. He passes out after sex. Mac walks around his apartment. She's taking in how sophisticated this man is, you know, like the artifacts that he has, how traveled he is with pictures of him all over the world, shaking hands with influential people, you know, the awards that he has won for his writing.
The books.
You know, Mac is a journalist. She's a writer. So far, she's only gotten these kind of frivolous writing jobs. But you could see this is what she wants to be. Like, she wants to be the type of journalist that, like, wins awards and does big things.
Yeah. As she's looking through his living room and stuff, and she sees a picture of him with his parents that's just nicely framed in the living room.
Green flag, by the way.
Yeah. Nick comes out of the bedroom and says, hey, I can't believe I fell asleep. And then he says, would you like me to call you a Lyft? Like, she's being dismissed.
A Lyft, basically a taxi service. Yeah, that was a little bit like, oof. It was the polite way of him saying, okay, it's time for you to go now. She plays it cool and she says, oh yeah, I already called one. And she walks out like she doesn't have a care in the world, but she's disappointed. Mm-hmm. Like, she's really disappointed. She goes out. She meets up with her friends again. Adam saved her his fries because he always saves her food, even if she's not around.
It's Adam and Mac, Bran and Little. They're all there. And Bran is trying to convince Mac to help him on a play with this woman at the bar. Little's like, no, it's my turn. And then Mac says, actually, it's Adam's turn. He hasn't ran a play in forever. And he actually says that he got a number on his own. And they're like, you ran a play on your own? And he says, no, I just ran into her out in the wild by myself and just got her number.
Everyone is so shocked, as though it is so appalling to think that you can meet someone organically without conning them.
They are shooketh. They are flabbergasted.
And Adam doesn't even want to talk about it. He doesn't want to talk about the date that he met. He just kind of brushes it off. It's brand new. She's nobody yet. There's nothing to talk about.
Adam and Mac actually leave the bar. They leave Bran and Little to their own play devices. Mm-hmm. Mac asks Adam if he wants to go get food. And he said, you just had fries. And she says, what about falafel? And he says, no, falafel is your sad food. The only time she's ever eaten falafel was when she was sad. And he's like, hey, talk to me. What's going on?
Can you tell me what falafel is? Because I've never had it before.
It's delicious. It's one of my favorites, but I'm not actually sure what it is. Falafel. Falafel is a Mediterranean street food, or like a Middle Eastern street food. Ground broad beans or chickpeas, or sometimes both. And they grind it up and then they mush it into like a ball or a patty, sometimes a stick. And then they deep fry it. And then you like dip it into like hummus or tzatziki.
Okay.
And it's just like really good.
You had me at deep fried, so I was all in there. So Adam can tell there's something wrong with Mac because her energy's low. And again, she had just hooked up with Nick Russell. They all knew that. They were excited for her, and yet she seems down, like she had a little...
Yeah, she should be riding that vitamin D high, and she's just
instead,
not.
Instead, she had a little dopamine crash. So Mac admits that she really likes Nick, and she actually wants something more than just a hookup.
Yeah, Mac tells Adam that she wants to run a different play on him. She wants to run like a relationship play on him. And Adam says, it's too late, honey. Mm-hmm. Like, you already ran the hookup play on him. You can't run a relationship play on him.
Adam tells Mac, you can't build a relationship on a play. Plays are cons. They're not real. You're playing a character. You can't build a relationship on that. But Mac is like, you don't understand. Nick has books and dishes that match and awards. Like, he's a real man. She's like, I'm 33 years old. I'm tired. Like, I want a boyfriend.
You can tell Adam's a little annoyed with it, but you can also tell that Adam doesn't tell Mac no for anything.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, let's figure out a different play. Let's do this, I guess.
So they get together. Adam, Bran, Mac, and Little, they get together. They have a meeting. And Adam is kind of in charge of the meeting. And he's like, we need pregame stats, okay? We need data that can help Mac formulate a plan on how to get this guy.
And so everybody is assigned a job. One person is assigned to check out where he goes during the day, what he does during the day, you know, who's coming and going at his place.
That's Little, because Little doesn't have a job. So they're like, pause your life for this.
Bran does nighttime activities. Bran essentially just follows Nick around and sees who he's hanging out with, where he's going, and who he goes home with at the end of the night, and how many times he's going out on dates with the same person. And then we have Adam, who is doing like data analysis, combining information and all of that. And then we have poor Mac, who's doing just internet research and stuff. She is finding all of the interviews and everything. She's reviewing all of his articles and stuff that he's written.
Yeah.
She is getting to know him through his work.
And just to put this all in context, they are assigning two people to stalk this man day and night is what they're doing. It looks really cute. It's a really cute spy montage, but they're spying on this man. They're stalking this man, essentially.
So they are stalking him, not just in person, but they're also like internet stalking him.
Right. It's so creepy that they know everything about him at this point.
After they've gathered all the information they need from their stalking, they stroll into work on the clock, commandeer a conference room to present all the information.
Adam, because he's the visuals guy, he's the graphics guy, he's made pie charts, okay? He's made pros and cons lists. He's really mapped out the plan here, and he's got it up on the whiteboard. He's printed out these huge graphics. And I'm just curious, what would happen if Nick were to walk into the office that day? Because Nick doesn't work there, but he has come in the past. Imagine him walking into that conference room and seeing a pie chart that details how many hours a day he spends sleeping.
You know what? That would be super creepy. But Adam, as the person standing up and having a view of the windows, it's his responsibility to make sure that those posters are knocked over before Nick gets in that room.
Good point. Good point. So apparently he spends his evenings and weekends going to concerts and wine and dining. Mm-hmm. He goes on a date every 2 weeks, but he rarely goes on a second date. Once Adam outlines all the information that they gathered, they look at Mac and they're like, okay, what's the play? Like, what play do you want to run here?
And so Mac needs a second, okay? Yeah. She's like, none of the plays fit because all of the plays are made for hookups.
Right. The guys ask Mac, what is your end goal here? What is it that you want? And she says she wants a drawer at his place. She wants a drawer at Nick's place.
So the significance of a drawer at a dude's place is that you are now staking claim. Mm. There is evidence of you.
Yeah. It's not moving in together, but it's him making space in his life for you.
Yeah. It's a higher level of commitment. So it's the space between dating and moving in.
For sure. Mac wants to be taken out of the one night stand category and she wants to be placed in the dating category. And Bran says something that made me laugh out loud at the gym because he says, Mac, reprogramming simple dick brain is like landing on the moon. And she's like, oh, so it can be done. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, by astronauts. It's like, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, by people with higher degrees in training.
They can't think of a play. Like, Mac can't think of a play that would work.
Adam asks Mac, hey, girl, crazy idea. What if you just asked him out? And she goes, absolutely not, because if it's a no, then that's like a final no. It's like a KO.
It's called the no play play. Hey, crazy idea. Don't run a play on this man that you want to date seriously and just try to build a relationship organically. Mm-hmm. Mac is like, absolutely not. That's too vulnerable. I won't do it. So anyway, how are we going to con him into being interested in me?
So Mac finally comes up with a play that she designed specifically for this. It's called The Flurry. It is essentially a repeated series of jabs and then feints.
The plan is injecting herself into his life in a way that appears organic by pretending to be at the places that he is without making it seem creepy, because she won't actually engage him. She would just be there.
She's now decided that she's going to become a regular at the bookstore that he's having a reading of his new book in 8 days. So she has 8 days to become a regular at this bookstore. And the way she's doing that is she gets there, she goes straight to the owner because it's a small independent bookstore. She goes straight to the owner, gets on a first name basis, and then goes back several times a day for the next 8 days.
Yeah. So by the time Nick is coming in for his book reading, she stages a bumping into him moment. And she's like, oh my God, what are you doing at my bookstore? And he looks a little frazzled, like he wasn't expecting to see her there. And then she wishes him luck on his book reading. Then she says goodbye to the bookstore owner who knows her name.
Yeah. And Nick's like, wait a minute, what is going on here?
Yeah. Do you think Nick was a regular at this bookstore? And he's just kind of like, that's weird. I've never seen her here.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because he looked really confused to see her so comfortable at this bookstore.
Mm-hmm. I think that might be it. He probably frequents that bookstore too.
Yeah.
And he's just like, her bookstore?
Yeah.
Bitch, it's my bookstore. Anyways, her second job is on his evening run. She's wearing tight little shorts, a cute little sports bra. And so as soon as he's coming towards them, she starts coming around the curve and runs straight past him. She doesn't pay him any attention. He notices her. They come within inches of each other. He turns around and yells for her, but she just keeps running.
There is nothing more embarrassing than calling out for someone that doesn't notice you. That's such a little like ego bruise, you know, because he's like excited to see her. He's like, hey, Mackenzie. She just doesn't even stop.
The next part of this is the feint. The feint is essentially actually having a conversation this time, inviting him to hang out with her, but then having to leave. It's the almost hangout.
Yeah.
She needs a girl's help. So they have to go get her boss's assistant, Ashley, at work. They bring her into the fold. And Ashley's in from the beginning.
Ashley is immediately a ride or die, and she's all in from the very beginning. They're able to tell her exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, we're trying to trick this guy into being in a long-term relationship with Mac. Are you in? And she's like, I am so in.
She said, I've always wanted to see how old people date. You take it back.
So yeah, there is a movie night at the park. It looks like it's Central Park, and this place is crowded, okay? So Mac has her minions with their AirPods in their ears looking like spies all around the park. They're trying to find Nick. It's hard to find him. There's so many people, and they need to know exactly where he is because they need Mac and Ashley to set up their blanket at the park directly in front of Nick's path. There's no way that they're going to accidentally bump into each other at this park when they have no idea where he is.
Yeah, absolutely not. Finally, they see him and they're like, he's walking straight here. And these girls have to do like a running jump, nosedive slide in order to get the blanket right in front of him and get it spread out. So they get there. As soon as he like walks out of like the walkway and into the park, he gets right there and he's like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, we're here for the show. Ashley, the assistant, the little minion that's with Mac, it's her job to just be the drunk girl in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Ashley essentially just pretends to be really sick so that Mac has to leave to take care of her. Before Mac leaves, she does invite Nick to come and sit with them. And it's so messed up that she gets him to agree and then bails on him immediately. Like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta take care of my friend. I'm so sorry. Bye. It's all about leaving him wanting more. And in the process, she is injecting herself into his subconscious without making it look like she wants him. Because at no point does it look like she is hitting on him or going after him. She's just casually enjoying the same things he's enjoying. You know, like it's not even about him sort of thing.
Yeah. This was the feint.
Yeah.
And it's almost time to put the last part of her plan into motion. Adam and Mac, they seem to have this little friend date that they do where they go and they sit outside Yankee Stadium and they listen to the game and, you know, they eat and they hang out.
It's a really cute scene because they're sitting out there on the grass so they can hear what's happening in the game. It's a really cute scene. It's nighttime. There's no twinkle lights, but there's like the aura of twinkle lights. Unfortunately, it's not a romantic scene between Adam and Mac because Adam is actually there quizzing Mac on Nick. He has like flashcards on like Nick's favorite foods, Nick's favorite movies. Like Mac is trying to basically become a female version of Nick in order to be attractive to him.
Yeah, you can tell Adam hates it, but he's still, you know what? He's a ride or die and he's all in. Things veer away from Nick and Mac, and Adam tells Mac that he's actually dating that girl that he told them about. Her name is Claire. And he's like officially dating her. And you know what? Mac's like taken aback. She was definitely like shook at that first.
Yeah, it almost seems like Adam has never had a relationship, like a serious relationship in the whole time that he's known Mac. And also, I have to say that Mac treats her friends like supporting cast in her life. Like, it almost seems like she is always really shocked and surprised that they have anything going on for themselves.
Yes, Mac is definitely a little self-centered.
As Mac and Adam are hanging out and they're talking about baseball, you could see that Mac is actually really passionate about baseball. Mac tells Adam that she just got an idea for what she wants to write a feature on. So a feature is the kind of story that can be on a front page or can be more featured on a newspaper.
She's talking about how she's going to make the feature more personal, talking about her parents and how her parents met, how they passed their love of the game down to her and made it a family affair. And instead of making it about the game, it was going to be a personal piece about her family and how intertwined the game is with her family.
There's a lot of pressure for Mac to come up with a really good article.
Yes. She also tells Adam that she's concerned that if this feature is not the best thing she's ever written in her life, that she's going to be in the next round of layoffs because they know that they're coming.
Adam is a really sweet and supportive friend. He's so excited for her when she tells him the idea that she has for this story that's going to be about the history of baseball, but how it's connected to the locals and how it's woven into the lives of her parents and her childhood and all of this stuff. Adam is so excited. He's like, oh my God, I can't wait to read it. That's incredible.
He's being such a hype man. He's like, that's it. That's the angle. You should do that. Yeah. Sounds amazing. Mac is at an interview. It seems to be at an interview of like a shuffleboard biscuit restaurant. I don't know exactly what's going on there. I just see shuffleboard and then they're talking about biscuits. Yeah. So I'm not really sure. But her phone is just going wild as she's holding it out for the voice recorder. And she has to excuse herself. The group chat for the flurry, the play for Nick, is going wild. Okay, it is going wild.
Right.
And then her friends track her down.
There is an emergency meeting that has been called. Okay. We're talking Adam, Bran, Little, even Ashley, who is, again, the boss's assistant that was pulled in for one specific play. Ashley is in the fold now. She's part of the group.
She's with Little now.
Yeah, her and Little have a little thing going. They all rush to Mac to tell her there's an emergency. There's a code red.
There is a code emergency, okay? And that emergency is that Nick has a third date. First dates are not ideal, but okay. Second dates are entering the danger zone. Mm-hmm. And third dates are absolutely the danger zone.
Yeah, this is not good because Mac and her friends have been working for so long to get Nick interested in Mac. If he starts dating someone else, this is going to completely derail their plans. And so they figure out, because they're little stalkers and they know everything Nick is doing at every moment of the day, they know that Nick has a date at, what is it? It's not the opera.
So it's a quartet. It's a classical music quartet's concert.
Oh my God. Snooze. Kill me.
And
push me in front of a bus before you make me sit in on that type of shit.
Anyways, Nick is taking this other woman to this classical music quartet. But obviously, they can't let that shit slide. Okay? They must ruin this night.
Yeah. And strangely enough, it's actually Ashley, the newcomer in the group, that comes up with the plan for how they're going to ruin the date.
Yes. The plan is they're going to wait until intermission and then they're going to call the doctor with an emergency from the hospital. And so she has to go in.
I'm confused about this. Did they pretend to be the hospital calling the doctor with an emergency, or did they push someone in front of a bus to have an emergency in front of the hospital where the doctor works? Because there are a lot of other doctors. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, how did they get her specifically to get back to work?
I think they pretended to be the hospital and called her.
Okay.
And said there was an emergency.
So, yeah. So Mac does not have tickets for the orchestra, but she dresses in this stunning, tight, really cute cocktail dress. She sneaks her way in during intermission.
She does it so smoothly. She brings like a lit cigarette. She blends in with the people. She puts her cigarette out as everyone's filing back in. And then she says, oh my God, I was so desperate for a cigarette. I forgot my ticket. Mm-hmm. And they're like, go ahead in.
Yeah, because I mean, if you don't have a ticket, where are you going to sit? set. Like, you're not going to have a chair. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows these shows are sold out. Like, Taylor Swift Eras Tour, please. Okay. New York City Quartet. That's where it's at.
You know what? Mac does her thing. She goes in and she makes her move. She goes up to the bar directly across from Nick and she orders two glasses of wine. And you know what? Nick's date just left him. He sees her. He comes right over and he's just like, hey.
Nick says, if I didn't know any better, I'd think you were stalking me. And he thinks this is really funny. He's totally joking. He has no idea that actually, bro, she is stalking you. Not just her.
Totally stalking you.
I think
you.
It would be less creepy if she was stalking him. The fact that she has recruited four other people to stalk him is like really concerning.
I think it makes it less creepy that there's like a group.
Well, you know what? Actually, you're right. I think it is less creepy if there are four people stalking you versus just one. Because if there's just one, then it's like that person is really deluded, right? But if it's four people, mm-hmm. that person has friends. Like they can't be that mm-hmm. crazy. They have people that are signing off.
Yeah. One person deluded. Four people, a little quirky.
Quirky and fun.
Quirky, fun.
Stalk in groups.
Here for a good time. Yes.
Bring your friends so it's not creepy.
He asks her, you know, like, are you here with a date? She says, no, my brother. And she says, you know, he's having a terrible time. She's like, what about you? And he's like, oh, no, my date, she just left. And then Nick's like, you know what? How about you can excuse your brother? He can go ahead and cut out since he's not enjoying it. I have fantastic seats. You can come sit with me.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to have third row seats in the orchestra quartet show? See, that to me sounds like a nightmare because it's not even a full orchestra, okay? Because I feel like orchestras can make really great music, but it's a quartet. What does that even mean? It's four people?
Yeah, it's like a cello, a violin, and other string instruments.
But not a guitar, because the guitar is too cool to be part of a quartet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just all the non-cool instruments, like the instruments that the guys you wouldn't sleep with in high school would play, those instruments, that's what makes up a quartet.
Why is a guitar so much cooler than a violin?
If I have to explain that to you, Courtney, there's no point.
I know. I understand that it is, but I don't understand the science behind why.
Right. Maybe it's because the guitar is down on the lower part of your body and the violin is like you're holding it with your chin. And that's just such an ick, like for a guy to hold something with his chin.
What about like a cello? It's just like sitting between his legs.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure mm-hmm. that there is a science behind why certain instruments are hot and some are not. Because listen, piano, mm-hmm. sensual, right? Guitar, hot. Mm-hmm, electric mm-hmm. guitar, just explosion of hotness. Cello, no mm-hmm. thanks. I'm busy the day you want to go out. Like, I can't. Mm-hmm. Violin, you're really creeping me out. Anyway, so Mac sits third row next to Nick, watching this classical music show with him. And she looks mm-hmm. riveted. And you know she's faking it. She is pretending like she mm-hmm. totally came here to watch the show and not to con her way into his life. But it works. Like, she's in.
After the show is over, he's walking her out. And he's like, hey, there's this really great mezcal bar down the street. Do you want to go? And she's like, I'm on a deadline. I can't. And he's like, okay, yeah, no problem. How about Tuesday? I can take you out on a proper date.
Yeah, he asked her on another date, which was her goal. And the thing is that I think because he had hooked up with Mac before, I think he expected her to come out with him for drinks and then it inevitably ending up with them back at his place hooking up again. But she was smart to be like, no, I can't. Like, I'm done for today, right? Because she is trying to be in the date category, not the hookup category. And yeah, it works. It works. She is in, all right? Her and her friends go out to celebrate. And it's such a stark contrast watching her with her friends because she has such a genuinely good time with her friends, like out in the bar drinking, being low lives. She looks like she's having so much fun with them.
And this is also the night that they meet Adam's girlfriend. She's an official girlfriend at this point. Mm-hmm. Her name is Claire. And he brings her over. And I guess the rule is, you don't bring other people to group outings unless it's serious.
That's so weird That's so, come on, you guys are grown. Like, you're not children. This isn't like I can't introduce you to my children because they'll get attached. And then when we break up, it'll be weird for them. These are grown people. Like, why can't you meet your friend's significant other? Like, why are there rules about that? This friendship is really strange.
I get it to an extent. Like, hey, I would really love it if you don't bring your flavor of the week to like all of our hangouts because I really want to hang out with you. So if you're constantly bringing different dates, that's annoying.
But I feel like in a way this is built to discourage the members of the group to have a long-term relationship because imagine if you start dating someone, you're missing out on hanging out with your friends because you can't bring that person. And so it's almost meant to discourage them from having real relationships. Like, that's cool. You want to date someone, that's fine, but you can't come out with us unless you guys are like really serious.
Or you have to come out with us and then you can't hang out with your, you know, the person you're dating.
Exactly. Now we get a relationship montage with Mac and Nick.
Yeah. You know what? I guess dinner that Tuesday went really well because they are relationshipping. Mm-hmm. All right. They're going out. They're having great times. They're doing picnics and she took them to a batting cage.
Yeah.
I mean, they are doing relationshipy things. Well, all right.
Yeah. She took him to the batting cage, but he hated it. You could tell he hated it. So right off the bat, it's like he's not into the stuff she's into because she is really into sports and he is not about it. But she seems to have a lot of fun doing the things that he likes to do. And also she tells him that she read his book and she says that she loved it, that it was so important and so well written and all this stuff. And then at the end of this montage, after we see them having multiple dates and really becoming a couple, one night when he's dropping her off, he kisses her and he says, "You are so fun."
Yeah. She asked him if he wants to come up and he says, "I have to write tonight." You know how that is. Mm-hmm. And then he says, "You are so fun."
Yeah. But it was like the hesitation there where he was trying to come up with the right word. I felt this because he obviously is more sophisticated and worldly and more accomplished than she is. And him calling her fun in that sort of condescending way, it was almost like he was saying, "You're something fun to pass the time with. Yeah, we've been hanging out a lot. Yeah, we're like in a relationship, but it's more of a situationship. Like, we're just having fun." Like, that word just hit different. I did not like it.
So this sticks with Mac because she actually goes to Adam and she's like, "Can you believe the audacity of this man to say that I'm fun?"
Yeah.
And Adam's like, "You are fun." He's like, "Fun's not an insult. Cute is an insult."
Yeah, that would have been worse. Listen, Nick would have been found dead in a ditch the next day if he would have called Mac cute. Like, done. You're done. It's so crazy, though, because Mac tells Adam, like, she's like, "Something feels off. Like, yes, we're like technically dating now, but it just, it feels off." And she tells Adam that she wants to run another play to shake things up with Nick. And Adam is like, "Dude, what are you doing? Like, you're in a relationship with this man. You have to stop fooling him at some point because plays are, again, it's like doing pretend things and pretending to be someone you're not. Are you trying to be in a relationship with this man?" It's not clicking for Mac that like the con game that she loves doing, it's not long term. Like, you can't do that forever.
Yeah. He's like, "You can't just run play after play."
Yeah. Just ask the Tinder swindler. Okay. Like, if he could do it, why can't I? If he can girl boss so close to the sun and ride in a private jet, why can't I?
Exactly. If the is it because he's a man? Is that why? Is that why?
It sounds very misogynistic. Okay.
We don't love that. And then she actually suggests, "Hey, we can go out on a double date. You and Claire and me and Nick, we can go out for a double date." Adam agrees and he's like, "Okay."
He's kind of reluctant though. He doesn't really want to do it. But again, Adam is not good at saying no to Mac. So he ultimately agrees.
He does ultimately agree. And they end up going to this cute little brunch place. And also, for the record, Adam hates brunch, which I don't understand how you can hate brunch.
That's like the one red flag for Adam. Apart from him being a literal doormat, I don't understand that he hates brunch. But yeah, so it's a double date, okay? We have Mac sitting beside Nick, who's essentially her boyfriend. And then we have Adam sitting beside Claire, who is his girlfriend. But the vibes are a little off from the beginning.
You can tell that Adam doesn't really want to be there. You can tell that Claire is just a little bit confused. Claire's happy to be there, but confused. And Nick's oblivious that there's any tension at all.
Nick is not good at reading the room at all.
No, he's never read a room in his life, and it shows. And so they get the food and stuff, and you can definitely tell that there's a lot of inside jokes with Adam and Mac.
Yeah.
They're talking about Star Wars, and then Nick calls Star Wars Star Trek, and they're like, you uncultured swine.
Yeah. Yeah, there is chemistry between Adam and Mac that is so obvious, especially when they are sitting beside their respective significant others who look at this point like fourth wheels. Like, they can't keep up because Mac and Adam just have so many inside jokes. And honestly, they're not being very respectful toward their dates. They're very much engaging in this one-on-one inside joke situation. And I'll tell you what, Adam's girlfriend, Claire, she's being a good sport because I would have been pouty as fucking hell. All right. And Claire is just kind of smiling along like, okay, I don't know what's happening.
The brunch is just super awkward. Okay. But also at brunch, Adam mentions something about how he couldn't, for the first 5 years that he knew Mac, she didn't share anything with him. It must be the only child thing. And Nick's hella confused because he's like, only child? I thought you had a brother.
At the orchestra, remember we sent him home?
Yeah. You said you had a brother.
They play it off really quickly.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's her, it's her Christian brother.
Mm-hmm. I think they could have very easily, because Nick is white, so they could have easily been like, yeah, that's my brother. You're my brother, man. You know what I mean? You're my brother. Brother is just another word for black male friend.
Close friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they play it off and Nick doesn't seem suspicious. But that made me wonder, because I didn't realize that she had been lying about having a brother. It made me realize, what are you doing? You lied about having a brother. Did you think that would never come up again?
I don't think she did.
It was such an unnecessary lie too, because it didn't have to be your brother that you were there with. It could have been anyone.
Mm-hmm. Literally anyone.
Now you have to pretend that your brother died in a car accident. You know, now you have to kill your fictional brother because he's never going to be around. What a tangled web we weave when we make up fake people.
Mm. You have to double down on the lie. You have to be like, my brother canceled on Christmas again.
Because he died.
He canceled on our wedding and now Christmas.
Because he died. Because he's dead. Don't expect to see him.
Anyway, you have to go to a random funeral and be like, I can't believe they didn't even include me in the obituary. This is why we were estranged.
I have to cut off my entire family now so that you don't find out that I didn't have a brother. You know what I mean? Like, lies really do escalate like that. But anyway, later that night, the night of brunch, Adam is at home with his girlfriend, Claire, and it seems like they're pretty comfortable in their relationship because they're brushing their teeth in front of each other. You could tell that they're really settled in.
Yeah, they seem awkward, though. It seems tense because Adam is just texting Mac, laughing at stuff Mac's sending. He's completely ignoring Claire. It's like his girlfriend is not even standing next to him.
Yeah, and you could see the wheels turning in Claire's eyes, like, okay, I'm not going to be the third wheel in a little unrequited romance situation.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
Good for her.
So
I'm really proud that she was like, I deserve better.
So during brunch, Adam had brought up that Mac is writing a feature, that she actually wrote this feature about baseball and her connection to it, and it's personal and all these things. And Nick says, oh, I'd love to read it. And Adam says, I want to read it too. So that night of brunch, Mac emails the feature to both Nick and Adam.
Yeah. Adam reads it almost immediately.
Yeah.
He has feedback for Mac the next day. He's like, this is the best thing you've ever written. He's like, the voice, the beat, everything in here was amazing. I love this. I love that. I love this part. He is just gassing her up so much. He is giving her all of the amazingness.
Yeah, Adam is gushing to Mac about how great her feature is. And even though she's eating up the compliments, she still doesn't want to show it to her boss. And she tells Adam she's holding off because Nick hasn't read it yet and she wants his feedback. And that seems to annoy Adam a little bit because he's kind of like, isn't it enough? I told you it was great. So it seems like a week passes, then 2 weeks. Nick still hasn't read her article, but One night, as Mac is leaving to hang out with her boys, Nick is on the couch. He's busy. He has a deadline. And he tells Mac, hey, after I finish my deadline, I'm going to read your piece. And she's really excited. And I think we can speak as writers that there is nothing more vulnerable than showing your writing to someone whose opinion you like really value. That's so vulnerable.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? It's the waiting the most. The waiting is the hardest part, to be completely honest. And then it's also like all the shit you fill your head with in the meantime. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, what if they hate it?
Right.
What if they hate it? What if I have deluded myself into thinking that I can actually write? What if?
What if I'm actually illiterate and I just wrote 700 words of hieroglyphics?
Yeah. What if none of this actually makes sense?
Right. So Mac goes back to Nick's place after having drinks with her friends, and she finds him asleep on the couch. So she just goes on to bed. The next morning, he comes in and he is tired. You could tell he has like a crank on his neck from sleeping on the couch. He immediately puts on his eye mask and cozies up in his bed to go to sleep and just casually mentions that he read her article.
Yeah, he doesn't even offer any feedback or anything. He's just like,
I read your piece.
Yeah, I read your piece. And then he puts his eye mask on and tries to go back to sleep. And she's like, what did you think? And he's like, there was some really great stuff in there.
Oof, I don't like it.
Not loving it. And then she's like, okay, could you give me some notes or something? And he's like, yeah, I could definitely write something up and give you some notes.
He jumps at the chance. Absolutely, I'll write up some notes and send it to you. Oh God. To ask a pretentious man for his opinion, it's like asking the sun to burn hotter. It's like what it's made to do, you know? Mac gets Nick's notes. First of all, it's not notes. He sends her a new manuscript. She opens it up. There are entire sections of red where he rewrote parts. There's notes everywhere. Take this out. This isn't good. This is whatever.
One note said no, no, no.
This, as you can imagine, just crushes her. Let me tell you right now. The only acceptable note is this is amazing. And I'm going to tell you why. Writers, we pay editors to hurt our feelings, okay? We don't need you to hurt our feelings, okay? We have beta readers to hurt our feelings. We don't need our significant other to hurt our feelings.
When we're coming to the actual stylistic parts of our writing or the actual subject of our writing,
right?
We pay, like Rose said, we pay editors to hurt our feelings, and they do a great job.
Oh, yeah. Editors will crush your soul, your spirit and soul, and leave you never wanting to write again. But that's their job. That's what you pay them for. So it seems like everyone at the newspaper is going to a big event celebrating Nick for some reason. He won some award. He wins awards all the time. So they're at this black tie event. Nick is mingling with all this high society that's telling him he's the best writer since who's a good writer?
Nicholas Sparks.
Just kidding.
I would love for somebody to compare an academic writer. Like, you are the best writer since Nicholas Sparks.
I know. I'm gonna be like, low key, that's what she should have said to him. But yeah, so Nick, you could tell Nick is eating up the attention. He is taking selfies with his award. He's mingling everywhere he can. He has not checked in on Mac a single time.
He hasn't even just swung by and been like, hey, babe, thanks for coming. I have to go back out there. Or, you know what? Why can't you come and get your girl and take her with you?
Yes. No, I think that is hurtful, right? Like, why can't you introduce her as your girlfriend to all these influential people you're meeting? That would hurt my feelings big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
At this event, Mac's boss from the newspaper is there. And when Adam sees the boss, he spills the beans about the article that Mac wrote. Because remember, he read it. Adam read it the first day. And he tells the boss, Mac wrote this incredible feature. And Mac gets so upset because now the boss is like, Mac, send it to me. Send me the feature. And Mac is upset. She's like, I wasn't ready to send it to her yet because Nick hated it.
Mac shows Adam Nick's notes. And Adam is not kind. He's like, screw that guy.
Yeah.
He didn't make notes. He rewrote it. This doesn't even sound like you anymore.
Yeah. He says he took everything that was you out of this because the whole point of the feature, it was a feature. It's not a news article. So feature articles can have more kind of opinions and feelings and stuff. They're not just straight up news. And there's usually a little more emotion in it, which is what she was shooting for. And Adam says, Nick took out everything that made it you.
Yeah. And this causes an argument between Mac and Adam is essentially like, you and Nick have nothing in common. You guys don't fit. okay?
Yeah.
You've changed things about you to make yourself mesh with him, but you guys don't fit. You guys don't make sense.
Yeah. He doesn't know you and he doesn't like sports. And what do you even like about him? I loved when Adam asked her that. He said, what do you like about Nick? She can't come up with anything.
Adam actually ends up leaving.
He does say some kind of harsh words to her. Adam says, it took that man 2 weeks to read 5 pages. He's been here all night. He has not checked in on you once. And you played games with him like a child to win him. And you worked so hard to get with him. You never stopped to wonder if you actually wanted to. I'm like, damn, that's true.
Mac and Nick go back to Nick's place. He is riding the high of the evening, okay? He is so excited. He's so happy. And he's like, thank you so much for coming.
Well, Nick doesn't notice that Mac is not in a good mood. He's not checking in with her. And let me tell you, this is important in relationships. To be with someone who is so caught up in themselves that they haven't checked in on you all night, even just like emotionally to read your vibes of like, are you comfortable? Are you okay? Do you need me? That's a huge red flag. He is so self-centered.
Yeah. And then he's like, I have something for you. He's like, ta-da, I cleared you out a drawer so you can leave some of your stuff here.
Yeah.
She got what she wanted.
This is what she wanted. This was what everything was about. She wanted a drawer at his place. But when she looks at it, you could tell it's this empty victory yet again. And she finally tells him how she's upset that he rewrote her piece. And they get into an argument because he essentially tells her it was easier to rewrite it than try to make the crap that you wrote sound good. He is really mean.
He essentially says, I didn't like anything in your article. There was nothing good in it. I had to rewrite it because I was trying to save your job. Your boss told me 3 weeks ago that there was another round of layoffs coming and you were probably going to be on that list. So I'm trying to save your job for you and I can't do that with your shit ass writing.
I can't believe that he's known this for 3 weeks and didn't tell her. It just kind of shows that he wasn't really taking her seriously as a partner. So she's really upset that he didn't tell her because she's like, look, I'm not stupid. I knew that there was another round of layoffs coming, but the fact that you got firsthand account from my boss that my job in particular was up for the chopping block and you didn't even think it was important to talk to me about it, like that's kind of fucked up. You know what I mean? Honestly, if I hear that a random person that I don't even know might be losing their job, like I'm going to find a way to tell them like, hey, just a heads up, 3 weeks from now, you might not have a job. You might want to prepare for that.
Yeah. And she is like, you know what? This is over. I'm done. And he says, you're breaking up with me because I don't like your writing. And she's like, oh, honey, no. People not liking my writing is half of my job. Mm-hmm. That's not it at all.
Yeah.
It's the fact that
you don't know me.
Yeah, you don't know me. Like, it's, I think that parts of what she didn't say is that he doesn't take her seriously as a writer, as a person, as a partner.
Yeah.
She never would have been a potential long-term partner. She may have gotten a drawer, but she never would have gotten a key to keep. She never would have been able to move in. He never would have introduced her to family or parents or his friends.
Yeah. There was no future. She was always just ... fun.
Yeah, she was just fun.
So that night, she goes and eats that disgusting meal that she eats when she's depressed. Falafels.
Falafel is delicious.
I gotta try it. And she gets an email from her boss demanding that she turns in the article because her boss is like, give me the article that you're writing. And Mac almost turns in Nick's version.
But she doesn't. She turns in her version.
Yeah. The next day at work, Adam isn't in the office, but Mac tells Bran that she broke up with Nick, and then Mac gets called into the boss's office and she immediately assumes it's because she's getting laid off.
Yeah. And the boss isn't like, hey, Mac, can you come here so I can talk to you about your future? Or like, hey, can I talk to you real quick? Or she's like, Mac, can you come in here? I need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. The boss is very somber and very serious. She looks like she's getting ready to fire someone.
Yeah. And the boss said to her, the boss is upset with Mac because she said, Mac, there's a reason why you're supposed to pitch me articles before you write them, because there could be someone else that's working on the same thing that you're working on. You can't put me in this position. You have to tell me ahead of time so I can plan accordingly.
And she's like, if you want to change lanes at this newspaper, that's fine. But you need to tell me that you want to change lanes and we can make it happen.
And that's a problem with Mac, right? Mac has such a fear of putting herself out there. Like she has such a fear of rejection that she's like sabotaging herself because of her fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm. But her boss puts the feature out in front of her and says, "You wrote this," which is kind of like insulting. Like,
but then also it was hard to read the question because I didn't know if the boss was asking like, "You wrote this crap," or like, "You wrote this amazing piece." Like it could have gone both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Max says yes. And the boss is like, "I love it. It's amazing." Mm-hmm. She says that she's going to put it in the Sunday paper. She's going to put it, you know, front page, digital and print. Yeah. And that they were going to throw more publicity at it to get more readership in. Mac is elated. And then the boss is like, "Fantastic. I see that you're happy. Please don't spread that around my office. Take your joy and leave immediately."
Yeah. It's almost, this is a really common trope in newspaper publication type jobs where like the boss is always this really grumpy person who hates joy. And I think part of it, it's like you need the tortured writers. Like that's when they're the juiciest. That's when you're the most productive, is when you're borderline depressed, not fully depressed, because then you're not productive, but going into depression, you have one foot in depression's door. That's when you're your most prolific.
Listen, my most productive in writing when I'm borderline depressed.
Yeah. So Mac goes out with Bran and Little. They go out to celebrate. Actually, Ashley is there too, Little's girlfriend and the assistant that they kind of pulled into the group. They go out to celebrate the fact that Mac is having this feature published. And not just that, Mac also is getting a big deal sports article.
Yeah, she is getting to report on a Thursday night Yankees Red Sox game.
Yeah, and that's huge. As a New Yorker, the rivalry between the Red Sox and the New York Yankees is legendary. And those games are always like high profile games. They all go out to celebrate. Adam is not there. Adam is very conspicuously missing. We haven't seen him since that big argument. So like, is he skipping work? I don't know, but we haven't seen him.
We haven't seen him at all. But what we do see is his girlfriend, Claire, kissing on some other dude.
Yeah. Obviously, Mac, Bran, Little, and Ashley, they roll up to her like ready to throw down. They're like, "What are you doing? You're cheating on our friend? Oh, hell no. Like outside right now. We're fighting."
And she's like, "Calm down, girly pops. We broke up after that disaster brunch because Adam is clearly in love with you."
Yeah.
Mac is shook. She's taken aback. Yeah. She's like, "What? No, he's not."
And then everyone else in the friend group gets really quiet. And Mac is like, "What is it?" And they're all kind of like, "He is in love with you, though. Like, we've known for years." Like, what an awkward dynamic for them to all know. Like, even Ashley, who is brand new to the friend group, she's like, "Oh, yeah, I realized like the third day on the job."
It was a pivotal moment for Mac. She's like, "No, we tried this before. He wasn't into it." And Bran and Little were like, "Oh, no, he was into it. He thought you weren't into it." Yeah. That's why he took a step back.
Yeah, apparently when Mac and Adam hooked up in college, it was right after Mac's mom died and Adam felt weird about trying to hook up with her. And so he didn't let it get far. He kind of stopped it. And she assumed he wasn't into it. And he assumed she wasn't interested. So it was like, it's this whole, listen, the number of books that have been written on like, what is it? Misunderstandings. And in the end, it's like, "Oh, I didn't know you liked me." It's like a literal conversation could have made this whole movie redundant.
Why didn't you just say so?
Yeah. The fact that he's in love with this girl and he watches her run plays on all these other guys and never says anything. Like, come on.
Yeah.
What I'm realizing is that the leading men that we're getting in our rom-coms now, they are such green flags and it's boring as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so boring. Like, remember in the 2010s when our heroes were red flags all over?
Toxic.
But it was exciting. Yes. It was interesting. It was an escape. The heroes in rom-coms in the last, like, 5-10 years have been so bland.
Yeah, it's because they're not making rom-coms for us anymore. They're making rom-coms for Gen Z now.
Well, yeah, I feel like writers are so terrified to get canceled by Gen Z because they're like, if I give a single red flag to my hero, Gen Z is going to find out where I live.
They're going to dox me.
They're going to dox me, cancel all my utilities, smear my name to the HOA. They will ruin my life. Gen Z doesn't know what they're missing. It's fiction. Do you know what I'm saying? Let us have our fun with fiction.
Let us eat our trash.
We're just little raccoons.
Let us eat our trash. We understand these men in the rom-coms are trash, okay? We're not idolizing them, but we would like to pretend for 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen, whatever. So we cut to another scene at work. The new girl in the group, Ashley, she comes up mm-hmm. to Adam with Bran and she says, hey, I got 4 tickets to the Red Sox Yankees game. I sold my spleen totally fine. I need your help to run a plan, to run a play.
Yeah, on Little. What they do is they blindfold Little. And so Ashley, Bran, and Adam get in a taxi with Little, who's blindfolded.
Isn't it amazing that in New York City, you can put a blindfolded person who's like struggling for their lives in a taxi and be like, hey, I want to go to the Yankee Stadium. And the taxi driver asks 0 questions.
No, they don't even tell him when they say, where are we going? Ashley yells, the destination is classified. And then she leans over and whispers it to the driver.
But I just love that the driver is not asking any questions. Like, I love New York City.
New York City is the definition of, if you think you saw something, no, you didn't.
There's not a single snitch in New York City.
Honestly, even if somebody wanted me to snitch on something that I saw in New York City, I probably would not be able to give you any type of accurate description. I am zero help. I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on.
It was the street by the dumpster. They're like, okay, ma'am, the one that smells like piss, ma'am, the one with the really tall building, ma'am.
There was a rat by the dumpster. Anyways, the 4 of them, everyone except for Mac, arrives at Yankee Stadium. And Ashley's like, this is a shortcut. Adam's confused. Adam's like, Ashley, I think we may be getting ready to get murdered because mm-hmm. this doesn't feel like a shortcut.
Ashley takes them around the back of the stadium and Mac is waiting there. And as it turns out, this whole play was just to bring Adam to Mac so that she can stand up and give her little speech outside of the stadium, their spot. Apparently, it's a very like historical spot outside of Yankee Stadium where there have been a lot of historical games before the stadium was actually built, because it used to be just like a baseball field, which is still there. And a lot of historical things have happened there. It's a place of great significance to Mac and Adam.
And Adam's like, what's this, a play? And she's like, we did run a blind man play to get you here, but that's besides the point.
Other than that, no more manipulation starting now. She's quitting cold turkey. Mac gives her speech about how she's in love with him, how she loves that he saves food for her every time, that he walks her to the to the train station, that he thinks about her. She tells him, I love you. And he is really cute. He asks her to stop talking because she was talking for a solid like 3 minutes. And then he tells her that he also loves her. They kiss. And then in the background, my favorite character, Bran, he leans over to the other two and he goes, this is really going to fuck up the dynamic. And that's so fair. Mm-hmm. Like having a friendship group and then having 2 people hook up, which by the way, now Bran is the only single one because Mac and Adam are together. Little and Ashley are together. And now there's just Bran. What is he going to do?
Yeah, he's going to have to find somebody else to run plays with.
And Bran gives me sociopath vibes. Like I feel like Bran loves running plays. He loves the con. He loves the manipulation. And I don't see him settling down anytime soon. And so I wonder how the dynamic is going to change when these 2 sets of couples are out at a bar with Bran. Like, what's going to happen here?
You know what? Bran's going to manipulate Little into wingmaning for him.
Yeah. And I also wonder, because Mac, this is what she's good at, you know, like manipulating strangers into sleeping with her. That was her kink, dude. That was like what she did every night. This is what their entire friendship group is built on. I don't know, man. They kind of make it seem like, oh, happily ever after. I don't think so. I don't know about that.
Well, you know what? They're going to be playing strangers at a bar a lot. You know what I mean?
I guess, but I feel like part of the adrenaline rush is bringing actual strangers and conning actual strangers. Because there's like a certain pathology to conning people that like normal people don't do. Like I couldn't con someone. Do you know what I mean? There's a difference between like playing games and playing hard to get and like waiting a little bit before calling someone back versus inventing a new identity, hiring your friends, actually not hiring because she didn't pay them, enlisting your friends to stalk him day and night, building pie graphs about his entire day. Like there's something there. You know, I feel like this is the prequel to a darker movie.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. That is where our movie leaves us. Yep.
The teapot is empty for today.
Don't worry, Murray's brewing it on the way. We'll be back next week with another episode.
See you next time.
Bye.